Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
So somehow magically it became like the end of May. What happened, Audrey? I don't know. Like this, the time it's going.
Do you think that time went so fast before we were all in the shelter?
I know. What the heck? It's like 10 weeks has gone by and I'm like, it's going to be fall. I don't know.
I know. I'm serious.
Cause you realize for me, Audrey, the first day of fall actually begins on June 22nd.
It probably does, right?
Days are just getting shorter at that time. So in a month from now, I'll be pulling my sweaters out. Just saying. So, and I feel like it's going to be a month from now before we know it. It's been crazy. But Audrey, so I could not be more excited for our virtual STEM summit that fires up tomorrow on the 28th. And we're kicking it off with Google and Google X Labs. And we have like a whole week of being able to show the coolest tech companies and what they're doing for an hour each day.
It is really great. So, yeah. So you know, like, let's just wind it back. Kids are now not in school, and we always do a STEM summit. And like most small, scrappy companies, we're always thinking new ways of doing things to make sure that we're as connected to our customers as possible. And it became really apparent that in the virtual world, first of all, many kids were, you know, while they're homeschooling virtually, that there's still a lot of gaps. And one of the things we came up with was, how about if we just have leverage virtual technology and connect people for just a little bite, just a little bite each day.
45 minutes.
People who are running these companies that are doing like some of the most amazing things.
Exactly.
The biggest, I mean, do we have Shell Games as one of them, right?
We don't have Shell Games actually, but we do have Google, Duolingo. We have Facebook Reality Labs, BNY Mellon, Allegheny Health Network, and Uber Advanced Technology Center. It's looking at their autonomous vehicle research.
So the kids are going to be, I guess each, we're opening it up. And obviously, we're using the protection so that Zoom video will not be available to look and see who the people are.
There will be no Zoom bombings, right?
None of that. There will not be that. And we are allowing teachers, parents, and kids to come and join us each and every day. It doesn't matter where you live. You'll be able to just go to the pghtech.org website, and you'll see a link in there. And you'll be able to log in. And I believe that our vision is to have a student interview each of the people each day so that there's some interaction. And what better way to like just for a small bit of time engage in some of the best and brightest work that's going on, including a chance to talk to one of the lead doctors working on the vaccine over at the University of Pittsburgh.
Dr. Phalo, so absolutely.
It's just a great way to do it each and every day for a few days. And as people wind down their school year, they'll have a chance to connect and see what's happening. And our hope is that teachers and parents, that we open up their eyes as well.
Exactly.
Their eyes so that they can really see what it's like to work for some of these people and what kinds of problems that they're trying to solve.
Exactly. So here's the best part about this, Audrey. So we would have never done this virtually ever if we were not in this COVID environment that we're in, right? But by being in this environment, we had to go virtual. By going virtual, we already have more than 400 people signed up for this. The last time I checked, I think last year we had about 200 kids altogether when we did this in person. So I bet you we're going to quadruple, maybe quintuple, the amount of people that can actually learn about what's going on in tech companies and in Pittsburgh. So to me, it's like, this is such a cool thing because we're reaching more people and making more impact despite the fact that we cannot actually be in the same room with each other. So we're making some serious, serious lemonade out of a big old batch of lemons as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what's the batch of lemons? The world has changed. That's all.
Well, it's
the world
scary.
Has changed.
I mean, it's sour when you can't actually hang out with people. Like, I miss being in the studio hanging out with you. Like, you know, we all want to be within with each other, but we can't. But we're still like we're doing Tech Vibe right now, right? It doesn't matter. We're still making it happen.
No, I think what's really cool is that anyone can join us and they can, you know, peel back the curtains a little bit, take a break, understand what's happening in innovation. And for many of these people in rural communities that can have access would never have had a chance to even understand what kind of work people are doing or even get close to behind the scenes of companies. It could change someone's life.
Oh, completely.
Change the course of how they think about what's possible.
Absolutely. And you know, Audrey, we could not do this without the help of our sponsors. So like BNY Mellon, Giant Eagle, Lanxess, SDLC Partners, CGI, Industrial Scientific, Giftia, and Highmark have all stepped up to be part of this event. I'm so ecstatic about the work that we're doing around this. And I just think it's going to lead to bigger and better things as we continue to move forward.
Well, think about all these kids who have been home, right? Homeschooled. Yep. And how many parents have had to juggle work.
Oh my gosh. Exactly.
Teach their kids, cajole them.
Right.
Now, you know, I hear many of them let their kids sleep till noon and but, you know, they're not on sports teams. They're not building camaraderie with their classmates. They're learning differently. You know, parents have to be in the role of being a parent and being a teacher. And those are skills many people just don't have.
Exactly.
In terms of patience and even knowledge. I've heard that from some parents saying, I don't know some of this stuff.
Exactly.
You know, so how can I be helpful? It evaporated, or they may not have covered the topic that way.
Very much.
So I think this actually allows for, I have seen more conversations with parents about what is school?
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of school? What's the importance of school? What's their view of their kids' education?
Right.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, it should. I mean, all of a sudden, there's this emphasis on it.
These are important times.
Yep.
For people to be thinking about things totally differently. And school's one of them.
Absolutely. 100%. So Audrey, we got a great show lined up with us today. And just to remind everybody, if you want to register for the STEM Summit, 100% free. We want you to participate and learn as much as you can. Go to pghtech.org. It's right there on our website under our events section. You can sign right up for it. It's super easy. Puts on your schedule for every day that we have this going on, starting on the 28th, rocking all the way out through the 29th and through June 5th. So it's going to be a really good time. But tonight's show, Audrey, we've got some great guests stopping by. We have Brian Cohen from Hanel Storage Solutions. Excited to have them. These guys, stuff has to get stored places. And they have automation systems that store all types of crazy stuff across all sorts of industries. And they're doing that right here in Pittsburgh. I think that's a lot of fun. We have the next installment, Audrey, from our Healthcare Reinvented with Highmark and with Allegheny Health Network, which is talking about substance use disorders. Like, it's you can't forget about that during the COVID pandemic. Some folks still need to get help. And so they're using teleservices in order to help some of these folks that are afflicted. And of course, last but not least, we have our friends from Suntech stopping by as well, talking about the way they help folks within the life sciences industry. So we've got a great show in front of us tonight, Audrey. We keep telling stories. We keep trying to get people connected. We just love it. So I think we're going to go to break. And thank God we have Zoom here doing what we do, because we couldn't do this without Zoom. I know I'm in my attic and you're in your dining room, and I'm just looking forward to keep bringing people Tech Vibe Radio. So once again, pghtech.org. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're trying to have way too much fun here, guys. I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Thanks for listening to Tech Vibe Radio tonight. You're making a wise investment of your time as we are telling the best stories that are happening in Pittsburgh's technology ecosystem. And so we've got a great guest coming up for you right now. We're just going to jump right into it. We have Chris Duby, who's the president of Centact. It's a really cool healthcare solutions company here. And I mean, obviously, I love talking to healthcare companies now with everything that's going on. I know that there's so many cool Pittsburgh companies that are playing a role in keeping us safe and just making healthcare more efficient and making it better for patients and doctors and everybody involved. And so, Chris, hey man, thank you for calling in and being part of this. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely, Chris. So first and foremost, I always like just to give a little level set for our listeners. Just give us the elevator pitch for what Centac is all about. And I'd like to learn a little bit more about your background as being president of the company and how you've been involved with Centac. I know you guys have been around since like 2002. So.
Yeah. 2002, product was developed. 2003, we got our first customer. We are a healthcare technology company. Our focus is on quality, safety, and the patient experience. So, we're right in the thick of it. A lot of what our technology does, just to give you an example, is to help hospitals monitor infection prevention and other safety metrics, and then take action based on what you're finding, correcting certain things. Or, when things are going well, definitely recognizing that and seeing where you can do more of it.
Oh, for sure. I hate to say perfect timing here, but like this is when like your services just really get that nod that they need, because so much of what you do is just behind the scenes, right? I mean, people aren't thinking about what it takes to make this happen, and you enable that. And right now, this is like top of mind for all of us, which is why I think our conversation is just so cool today.
Yeah. It's been an interesting couple months. We adapted pretty quickly early on in March. We developed some tools within our platform that really addressed COVID-19. First it was really infection prevention, monitoring, tracking, and then taking action, corrective action, responding, and then pulling data. And then, as things evolved pretty quickly, we have, probably 30 or 40 hospitals in the New York City area. Things quickly escalated to supporting command centers, and created some tools around those command centers where, resources were being shifted, let's say from, ambulatory areas or elective surgery, to, more mission critical areas, at that time. And we were able to help respond, getting equipment and staff in the right places, supplies, that sort of thing. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster. We implemented those COVID-19 tools in, 64 hospitals. So, we're definitely real proud of our response. Yeah. It's been,
amazing.
It's been a busy couple months. Our team has done awesome with it.
You guys are probably like breathing deep right now. It's like, oh my goodness, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. We were working, nights and weekends to support a lot of those hospitals, and things are starting to smooth a little bit. And I think everyone in the healthcare environment is starting to feel prepared. The fear has definitely settled down, and now it's just a matter of, let's get what we need to get done, which is a better place to be than we were in March and April when there was so much unknown.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, people we're getting their hands around it now. But I feel like there's just so much more opportunity for Centac moving forward because, this is just, like you said, it's put this giant magnifying lens on the importance of being able to monitor, infection and everything. And so moving forward, I'm assuming there's going to be an even greater demand for your services and your technologies.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've been on a pretty good wave. The last couple of years has been really, really strong, in a lot of ways, financially, a lot of growth from a customer standpoint. But we're definitely seeing a focus and look, safety has always been a focus for healthcare.
Of course.
But it's kind of been a necessity, right? It's just something that everyone does. And I think now everyone's looking at how to do things differently. So that's important. We also automate a lot of patient interactions and patient satisfaction processes as well. And, we're seeing a lot of things evolving quickly. We've had, just to give you an example, virtual visits on our roadmap for a while now.
Okay.
And we've accelerated that greatly. It's just something that we feel is a necessity. Our hospital, customers are telling us that it's a necessity. So really exciting things that we're able to work on that we were going to do. And I think a lot of my peers are saying the same thing, and hospitals as well. But now it's a necessity. It's something that we have to do. It's not a good to have anymore. So we're definitely working on some cool stuff that's really in high demand right now.
I believe it. So, you're anticipating this demand. I'm assuming you must be in some sort of hiring mode. You probably need as many people as you can get.
Yeah, we've hired four now.
Okay.
Well, he hasn't started yet. It'll start in a couple days since this happened. But we're definitely hiring. So, hey, to put a plug in, any developers out there, some implementation people, and also sales, we're looking to definitely make some moves. So,
That's awesome. See that? Because it's so weird because we have one side of the economy where we're having the highest unemployment rate we've ever experienced. But then we have companies like yours who are like, no, we need talent. So I'm just like trying to get that word out as much as possible because I know there's some good folks out there that, you know, have been shrunken out of jobs. And so to know that there's opportunities at places like Centac where not only is it a job opportunity, but, you know, you're actually working for a company that's saving people's lives and keeping people safe.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
Yeah, you know. That's right. We had, you know, New York City Hospital senior executives, people on the front line telling us that, hey, what you're doing is helping save lives. And, you know, that makes you feel good. I actually came from the hospital side before I got into the technology side.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you get removed from that hospital environment and you try to think about your impact. But it's really times like this that it's real clear. You know, no doubt about it.
Exactly right.
and it feels good. And you know, I recognize where we are from an economic standpoint from what you said. You know, it's tough, you know, for a lot of people out there. But it's really great that we're in a position where not only we can help, you know, patients in the hospital, people on the front lines in the hospital, those caregivers that are working this crisis. But then also, you know, our staff members, I think, are able to grow and be very fulfilled. With what they're doing.
Yeah. So we got a couple minutes left. Tell me more about that. I'm assuming I sense you have a really cool work culture and it's gotta be a really a fun, awesome place to work knowing that your mission is saving people's lives.
You know, I think it is. We definitely have a unique culture. Look, we're a smaller team, right? So we are, I have a goal that no matter how big we get, I want to stay somewhat entrepreneurial. You know,
yes,
I like,
of course.
Being able to solve problems, right, and listen to people and huddle up as a group with a bunch of smart people and try to get things done. It makes it fun. You know, I think in Centac in general, and this is way bigger than me, you know, we have an environment where we really care about people. We actually have a wellness program that when this happened, you know, we have a gym in our office and we're all about trying to make a healthy environment for people, you know, physically, mentally, you know, professionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put together a wellness program. We have a licensed physical therapist who kind of puts us through our paces every day at 12:30 where we're,
excellent.
You know, up out of our chairs and we're sweating and moving. And, right. You know, I love our culture. And I think without a doubt, it would be hard to work at Centac and not feel like you're making a big difference.
That's awesome. If people want to learn more about Centac, Chris, where can they go and check you guys out?
Yeah, check us out at our website, centac.com. Also, LinkedIn, you know, we're pretty active on LinkedIn as well. That's a great place. And, you know, I don't mind people hitting me up on LinkedIn as well, reaching out to me and having a conversation.
We heard that from you then. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us tonight, everyone. You're talking to Chris Doobie here from Centac. Reach out to him on LinkedIn. He wants to talk to you, especially if you're looking for a position and you it's like you've got a good fit there. So I'm just excited for you guys. You guys are making Pittsburgh proud. All the way around, because this is what Pittsburgh does, man. We step up and kick some butt, right?
Love it. Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Hey, everyone, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio tonight. So glad that you are here hanging out with us. We're so glad to be telling stories no matter what's going on out there right now. And I'll tell you what, one of the best things that we do is hang out with Allegheny Health Network and Highmark because we do our Healthcare Reinvented podcast series with them. We explore some pretty deep issues around all things going on with healthcare delivery and with technology and all that kind of great stuff. And tonight we've got a really cool segment talking about substance use disorders. It's a serious, serious deal. And a lot of folks who are suffering from substance use disorders. They're being overlooked right now with all the stuff going on with the COVID pandemic. And so Allegheny Health Network and Highmark have found some really creative ways to make sure people are still getting the help that they need, mostly using telehealth medicine services. And luckily now, as we're starting to go back to a little more of a normal life, there's still some ways that they're able to connect and make sure that people who are suffering from these disorders are able to get the help when they need it. So for us to tell these stories, it's a lot of fun. We're going to play you an excerpt right now from the podcast series. If you go to pghtech.org and just look up our Tech Vibe Radio tab over there, you can actually find all of the different podcasts that we're doing, especially with Healthcare Reinvented, and really nerd out on all this subject matter. So give us a quick spin and listen. You'll be really surprised as to what's going on. Actually, probably pretty proud that Pittsburgh is leading the way in so many of these areas. So give it a spin. After that, keep hanging on. We'll be back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Tech Council. And I have some awesome guests today who are absolute experts on this subject matter. We have Dr. Cesar DeLeo, and we have Ashley Potts hanging out with us today. Guys, thank you for taking the time to hang out and tell this really important story. Can't thank you enough.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Dr. DeLeo, let's start with you and your background. Your background is absolutely amazing. I wouldn't do it justice if I just kind of read your resume as to the key things that you've done. Just let our listeners know a little bit more about you and what you do.
Well, my role at Highmark is Executive Medical Director and Vice President of Strategy, Strategic Initiatives. One of the areas that has been sort of my passion project area of focus has been on substance use disorder, and in particular, opioid use disorder. I think, I came from a background of internal medicine and primary care, but having come from a background in that area, you can't help but see individuals and treat individuals with this disorder because it's so, so prevalent.
Right.
And for those who feel that it isn't, it may just be sort of a bias of not looking for it. Huh. But believe you me, it's there. And I think it's incumbent upon us in the medical profession to make sure that we're able to identify it and prevent it and offer help to individuals when they need it.
Absolutely. And Ashley, your insight on this is absolutely critical as well too. So glad you're here talking with us. Tell us about your background and what you do and what gets you passionate about this subject matter.
Yeah, thank you. It is so great to be here. So I'm a licensed social worker by trade. I have actually worked in the addiction and behavioral health space for a little over 10 years. And I recently, about a year ago, transitioned over to Highmark to join Dr. DeLeo as a project manager for strategic initiatives to help with the projects that we have and initiatives we have surrounding substance use disorder.
Very good stuff. Very good stuff. And so maybe we can start with just a couple stats and figures. Like what are the numbers out there right now with just the impact of substance use disorders, especially in the Pittsburgh region?
Well, we've lost more people to opioid overdoses than the entire Vietnam War. We lose about 75,000 people in the United States every year. And if you want to give a point of contrast, the COVID epidemic currently is at about 40,000. Exactly. Alcoholism, about 85,000 to 87,000 per year. But to give you some a local perspective, we lose 13 people in the state of Pennsylvania every day to opioid overdose.
Wow.
That's every day. That's pretty amazing. And when you look at our three-state footprint, that's 17 people a day. And opioid use disorder affects all walks of society. We have neighbors, we have friends, we have family members, and they are at risk. And the first step in getting someone into treatment and long-term remission is diagnosis. And it's important to get people diagnosed.
But yeah,
this isn't a very commonly diagnosed disease because people have to sort of want to seek treatment and come forth into some sort of setting where they need treatment. Oftentimes people come to the emergency room with a pain disorder or a non-fatal overdose, and that's the opportune time to get them into treatment. And so often there's a gap, and that gap is something that we're trying to close.
How did this become such a huge problem over the past few years? I remember you'd see the stories trickling in, and then it just seemed like over the past couple of years, it just became this tsunami of headlines, just the number of people that it impacts across all socioeconomic backgrounds. And you hear everything from someone got surgery and was prescribed, some sort of a painkiller that got them going, to people just trying to do it recreationally in school. Is there a main thing that's been driving this?
Well, back in the 90s, pain was a focus, particularly after some of the pharmaceutical companies developed new opioid products and then promoted them. They promoted them rather vigorously. Some would say that the medical profession took some bad research that they had put together and were somewhat co-opted. And then pain became the fifth vital sign. So whether you were in a hospital or other settings, it was always required that you ask about pain. So pain was something that people aggressively treated. The problem with that is that these drugs were initially marketed to be safe and non-addicting, and that was not the case. We then saw lax regulation. We saw the development of aggressive distribution and then pill mills, and it took some time for us to catch up. But we saw that the death rate from opioids continued to climb, and then that's when it actually hit the national radar.
I see. Absolutely. I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit more about if more people are being afflicted with this. They bring it to work with them. So it's an impact to employers and into workplaces as well, too. Can you give me some information around that?
Yeah. So oftentimes individuals who have entered recovery have a hard time obtaining employment due to a prior history. There are several organizations that won't hire somebody who, you know, has the stigma of substance use disorder associated with them. This was something that was pretty significant, the stigma surrounding substance use disorders, which is why Highmark partnered with an organization called Shatterproof to launch a variety of videos that deal directly with addiction and talk about the stigma of addiction, you know, if you have a family member or if you're going through it yourself. And it is available to, you know, across all of Highmark and individuals who have Highmark insurance. That way they, you know, it's an educational platform, but then also it provides that forum for if individuals need to seek help. And then it also provides those employers some directions towards the National Safety Council on how employers can handle the substance use disorder epidemic in a non-stigmatizing way with a recovery-oriented environment.
Actually, that's really interesting. Could you tell me more about like how that works as far as like the types of videos and how people are able to access them and make sure that they can you know, be part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. There are six videos and each one is only about 5 minutes long. It's actually called Just Five. So the theory is, you know, just take 5 minutes once a month to watch these educational videos to try to, you know, decrease the stigma associated with substance use disorder. We have launched our fourth one, actually launches today on April 20th. So that one will be available. And we have two more coming up. And individuals just need to utilize the link that was given to them. I don't have that link, Dr. DeLeo. I'm hoping that you have that link that you can provide. And they just go to that link, they watch the video. And then when they scroll down, there are survey questions and there are platforms to ask for help. Where do you go for help? If you want to learn more information. So it provides all of that education. Right. And you can ask further questions per the video context.
Thanks so much for giving that podcast a spin. That excerpt I thought was really cool. Give you the heart of what's kind of going on there with all things around substance use disorders. Hey, we're coming back. We're taking a quick break. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Audrey will be rejoining me shortly as well, too. So it's all good stuff. So I tell you what, Audrey, love being here on a Wednesday night doing our show. And this next guest, I had the pleasure of talking to a little bit earlier this year. You know, we've spun up our Tech Vibe Radio one mic stand.
Yes.
We're in the process of telling lots of stories. And Hamel Storage is just this amazing, amazing company. And I got to talk to Brian Cohen a few weeks ago. And I was like, man, you got to stop by the terrestrial signal. You got to be on the big arm of the Tech Vibe, if you know what I mean. And so here he is, which I'm very excited about because I think Hamel's just doing some awesome work. Like, you'll never look at supply chains the same ever again because, like, they're behind everything. Like, literally, you got to store something, they're storing it. As simple as that.
I can't wait to hear it. So we have Brian Cohen, CEO of Hanel Storage. And if people are near their technology, what's the website so that they can go to it while you're talking?
www.hanel.us.
Awesome. So tell everyone what it is that you do.
Well, Hanel Storage Systems manufactures and designs and manufactures custom automatic storage and retrieval machinery that can go up into the sky upwards of 60 feet, store individual parts, and then through computer interaction, bring them down robotically or automatically.
Really?
Make it sound so simple. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you're making that. So give us an example. You don't have to tell us who the customer is. But give us an example.
Sure. Well, first of all, we have some of the best customers in the world. In every industry you can think of, we're there. From Porsche and Mercedes to Ford and Chrysler to Bayer and Glaxo and Abbott and the U.S. government, every military base, every part of the government you can think of. In the pandemic case, blood testing labs, diagnostic labs, drug discovery companies. So really, we're doing this for everybody.
Wow. So how did this all start?
Well, in 1953, Gerhard Hanel started the company and built the first industrial storage carousel. So picture a Ferris wheel and now make a box around it and put shelves where the seats were. And then that's basically a way to move goods up and back, forward and backwards.
Do you know what the first goods were that they ever stored?
No, I wish I did, but I'm going to get that answer.
That's it's something really cool too.
You know, the family is a really cool family. The owner passed away several years ago, but worked till he was like 93 years old.
That sounds about right.
Exactly. He built his family on the shop floor. They had an apartment at the factory. So the people I know, Joachim Hanel, Michael Hanel, grew up as little boys and children running around the shop floor and have lived this their entire lives.
Wow.
That's a great story.
And what brought it to Pittsburgh? Tell us the Pittsburgh connection and how Pittsburgh is kind of like the HQ for the operations you have all over the place.
It is. And first of all, Pittsburgh's a great place to be. I've been here now for 20 years, and I am in love with Pittsburgh, everything about it. But back then, in the late 80s, an attorney by the name of Hugh Nevin from Cohn & Grigsby was over in Germany at different automation fairs trying to encourage companies to come over to the U.S. and Pittsburgh. So literally, we were recruited by Hugh Nevin to come out here, and he's a great guy. Still friends with him.
Where is this guy? We got to send him out to more places.
That's true. Down in Florida enjoying the good life.
Okay. He deserves to.
So in terms of what's happened with this pandemic and this virus, has this affected you?
Of course. So we're a very employee-oriented company, and we're not going to take any chances, not only with our employees, but of spreading the disease in any way at all. We don't want to contribute to that. So we've been working remotely. But fortunately, we have the infrastructure in place that, believe it or not, I think we're more close now. Like, I'm attending a management meeting a department meeting at 11 and 1 every day, hearing reports from the different people in the departments, and I have a much better idea of what they're doing. So communication is up, effectiveness is up, and our customers who are working are buying products right now.
Well, so what do you think? What's your prediction going forward? Is there any anticipation that you have of returning
to
an office environment, or what do you think?
So this decision happens to be mine, and I'm very careful. So I want something to push back on, and the only legitimate thing I can find to push back on is the governor's red, yellow, and green classifications. One of my colleagues just sent me a note that the governor is considering a return to green for parts in Pennsylvania. In the very short term, it was announced like 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're waiting for. But in the meantime, business is still going. And I think, and our activity proves, that there'll be even more demand for our goods and services moving forward.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Do you think that you will keep a portion of your workforce working from home?
That's an excellent question. So this coincides with another situation we're in. We're having to move our office. We lost our lease where we're at right now. And so we're going to move from, it's for good reason. There's a big company expanding here. And, so I'm thinking about letting a couple of our employees that work really far away from our new location work from home. This is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, nice. It works now, right? I mean, this is like what we're all kind of excited about. This allows us to be way more flexible.
Exactly.
So tell us about the Pittsburgh office. How many folks are working there? I mean, and the types of positions. I just think, obviously, it's just fascinating the work that you guys do and that you're doing this here in Pittsburgh.
Sure. So a lot of our force is remote already, I should tell you. Mm-hmm. We've got people all over the country working out of their houses, both in a service and a sales capacity. In the Pittsburgh office, we have the people that design the machines, the people that sell the machines, the people that service the machines, the people that provide software support for the machines, and the people that provide the parts for the machines, and accounting, admin type of things. All of them are extremely tenured. We've got a lot of people in the 15 to 20 year range, and they're high level professionals. We don't have a lot of low level jobs. Mm-hmm. We try to create, instead of hiring an admin person, we try to create a junior person that will do the admin work and work their way into a senior position.
Interesting.
So what's your prediction for the future? What do you think? What are some trends that you're seeing?
Oh boy, so many. We've been involved now in a couple of virtual trade shows, which is a real different thing. Trade shows are very expensive and sometimes very effective.
Trade shows are just a big part of how you get new customers, I have to assume, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But a trade show might cost a couple $100,000.
Wow.
People and everything else. So while we don't want to get away from trade shows, we do like the idea of having the trade show live on electronically, and then being able to participate in lower cost, lower impact, maybe local trade events.
Really? That's interesting. I think there's going to be a shift in all that too, even if we move into quote unquote green, even around the country, because green means you still have to pay attention to CDC guidelines and WHO, you know, guidelines as well. So it's not like we're going to be definitely like mask free or not pay attention to the things around sanitation.
No time soon, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, even if we go into green.
I agree. And we're doing things like when a customer wants us to come on site, if the state allows it, we're asking the customer to fill out a form saying that they comply with CDC guidance and so on, so that our people will be safe when they go there. Mm-hmm.
Good policy, absolutely. And I think we're going to be seeing tons more of that just to make sure there's documentation and it just puts the mind at ease that like we're going into a safe environment. Well,
business owners are really have a whole new risk. Yes. It's a whole new risk and the concern around doing the right thing and what you're liable for and you know, every day there's a new finding or, you know, some sort of evidence that's just, it's additive. It's not finite.
Right.
And I really stresses, you know, business owners and CEOs out. I'm one of them.
Yes. So we do everything really carefully. So I got with our attorneys to figure out what's the best way to handle reopening. And and I learned that the employees right now out there have additional rights from the federal government.
And so
we just got the posters in that will let everybody know what their additional rights are. If you suspect you have COVID, you've got a certain amount of time to work through that without being penalized, doing your job and so on. So yeah, it's a new world.
Kids at home.
Kids at home.
Is another big piece in terms of responsibility.
Or a family member that's ill, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so what do you want us to know? What's your last final words that you want us to know about Hanel Storage?
Well, two things. First, it's Hanel. Everybody makes that mistake. It's Hanel Storage System.
Hanel.
Yes. It's a family name. But second, that we are committed to having safe employees and working to help the country recover from the COVID environment while creating commerce. I think to me it's a perfect good storm as we come out of this terribly bad storm.
So are you hiring at all?
Yeah,
we are. Right now we're looking for four people.
So if they go to your website?
If they go to our website, there's an info@hanel.us that they could send a resume to.
Very cool.
But we are also actively utilizing Indeed.
Okay. Well, my hat's off to you. This is a good business story in the middle of a pandemic with the highest unemployment probably on record.
Yeah.
And it is thrilling to be able to hear that you're on top of it.
Thank you very much. And if I could just say, young people, as you're considering your careers, consider the stability of the industry that you're looking in. Material handling is a very stable environment.
That's really a good point. That's
I just got to say, Brian, the work that you guys do is just so essential to everything in our world. I mean, everything has to be stored and touched at some point. And you guys are automating that and using advanced technology. You're in Pittsburgh doing that from a company that was recruited from Germany to come, you know, over here. It's just, right. I think, such a cool story. And you guys leading this even through the pandemic is just so cool. And I'm so glad you got to hang out with us tonight and just tell us a little slice of that story. So if you go to hanel.us, you can learn all about the company and see some of the cool, cool systems these guys put together. And it'll definitely blow your mind. That is for sure. Thanks, Brian, for being part of this tonight.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you,
Audrey.
Thank you.
So Audrey, we got to land the Tech Vibe jet now. It's always like this moment where I'm like, I want to keep telling stories, but we got to put the plane in the hangar and we'll take off again next week to tell more of these stories.
Yeah, I mean, pandemic or not, listen to that story.
Exactly.
They're still thriving and growing. And that gives us all hope.
And I'm going to remind everybody to attend our virtual STEM summit every day coming up to the next week. There is a cool speaker from companies like Facebook Reality Labs, from Google, just showing you what it's like to work at those companies. I encourage not just kids to tune in, but adults and parents and teachers and everybody, because there's some great stuff going on right here in Pittsburgh. Everyone needs to learn about it. We're so pumped to be still providing all this content, despite the fact that we can't actually be in the same room with each other. So it's going to be good. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. And have a great night, everybody.